Hi there, you're listening to a special edition of the Watson's Daily Podcast with me, Peter Watson. Today, I'm talking about commercial awareness with Jake Shogger of the Commercial Law Academy. Sounds incredibly, you do sound incredibly bouncy today. Thank you very much for being on this podcast. We are both of us. So this is Jake Shogger. I'll let him talk about himself. He is the expert on himself. So I'll let him do that. In terms of what we're going to talk about today, we are going to talk about a concept called commercial awareness. Now, both of us talk about commercial awareness, but from slightly different viewpoints and backgrounds. So I talk about commercial awareness from a background of stockbroking and recruitments, because I used to be a headhunter. Jake talks about it from the background of being a lawyer and also from a careers perspective as well. So I guess we need to start off with what is commercial awareness. So I'll give you my definition first, and then we'll move on to Jake, we can go from there. So my definition of commercial awareness is that commercial awareness is the appreciation and understanding of how companies and industries work in the wider environment and how they make money. So that's my definition. So Jake, over to you. Introduction. If for people that don't know you, and just say how amazing you are.
Thanks, Peter. Well, just leave the intro there before I ruin it for myself. So I'm Jake. I originally had a background in music. Then I became a city lawyer after university. Then I left the city. And nowadays I'm a commercial awareness author. I founded Commercial Law Academy, which is a comprehensive e-learning platform for aspiring lawyers. And that covers 20 in-depth courses around commercial awareness, the recruitment process, applications, interviews, tests, internships, and professional skills, and all that kind of lovely stuff. I run regular current affairs wrap-ups with Mr. Watson, who I think is the current affairs guru himself, which is nice.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Shucks. that's what I do. I still practice a little bit as a lawyer as well, and commercial awareness is super important to so many aspects of what I do. So for me, a person is commercially aware if they've got at least a foundational understanding of how businesses operate on the one hand, as well as a general awareness of the broader economic, political, and commercial factors that can affect businesses and the industries in which they operate more generally. That can include an understanding of the strategies that businesses pursue, why do they raise finance, how do they raise finance, why what might one business buy another, and all that kind of stuff, as well as the risks and the threats that businesses face. On the current affairs side, that covers things like industry trends, political events, the economy, and also how these factors can affect firms and their clients. And that for me is where the so what section in Watson's Daily is so important, because you are really looking at the implications of what's happening now and what's gone before it, and how these could impact what happens in the future. I think that's key to commercial awareness.
I think absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I'll just say on a side note that in terms of the way a lot of people, the commercial awareness is a phrase that many people will hear a lot. And the way that I approach it is different from other people, in the sense that I feel that when academics are looking at commercial awareness, they tend to be looking backwards. So, historically, this has happened. This is really interesting. You talk about the concepts, etc. Journalists, I would say, are, and this is a generalization, obviously, but journalists, obviously, they want to write the truth, but they have to write it in a way that's engaging and that, helps sell newspapers, right? So that's and then they move on to the next thing, right? So that's the difference thing there. Whereas the way I approach it is that I'm trying to because of what I did, so I'm being a stockbroker, I had to look at what happens in the past, what is happening now, and then have to extrapolate that into the future and try to think about what might happen. And in other words, rather than looking at commercial awareness and business and financial news and just sitting there and passively digesting all this stuff, the idea is to, yes, you've got to digest it to understand it, but then you've got to come out with something that is actionable. And as far as I'm concerned, that's where the money is. You know, this is the value of commercial awareness, is being able to use your current knowledge and, you know, apply it to existing circumstances and then think about, okay, so what are the implications of what I know now and what could that affect? And that's the way, that's the way I tend to look at it. And that's why I put in, you know, when I write Watson's Daily, that's why I put in the so what section, which tells you why that particular story was actually important. So, I mean, what do you, in terms of for lawyers then, what do you think, you know, why is commercial awareness important for lawyers?
Sure. Well, I think for lawyers and actually professional advisors more generally, it can be essential to ensure those advisors can understand their clients. And by that, I mean the client's businesses, their priorities, their competitors, their industries, you know, all the different things mm-hmm. that impact those clients. For lawyers, it's the ability not just to consider the legal, you know, commercial and financial issues that can affect those businesses in isolation, but also the potential commercial impact on those businesses of the wider economy, politics, industry trends, other developments, things that are going on internationally that can affect their businesses. I think understanding all this stuff and being able to bring it together, that can give lawyers the context they need to give legal advice that's informed, practical, actionable, and relevant. You know, advice that takes into account the client's objectives and their challenges so they can maximize opportunities, minimize exposure to risk. There are loads of ways that came up on a day-to-day basis. So as a practicing lawyer, I'm expected to know which documents and which clauses within those documents are market standard, which specific risks to look out for, how to tailor clauses and include generally accepted wording to mitigate specific risks, common negotiation points. You need to understand the regulatory landscape and propose changes so you can help to prepare clients to comply with those changes. But also as a lawyer, you need to get involved in commercial discussions with colleagues, other firms, external collaborators, and your clients, both in personal and professional contexts. You might be out on at a closing dinner, networking, whatever. It could be at the start of a meeting, could be when pitching for work. And if you can't have a kind of solid discussion around these points, that won't come across particularly positively, especially with clients. They'll be more inclined to work with you if you demonstrate that you fundamentally understand and can and have a real interest in what it is that they do.
I mean, I definitely think that is very true. And I would also, I would add that I think when you can demonstrate your knowledge and or interest in an industry or particular area, it is notable because not everyone can do this. And I think that actually, a well-placed question or observation, you will be absolutely amazed at how the doors of opportunity suddenly start opening, because they will then think, oh, this person actually knows what they're talking about. So they then will tell you more about what's going on, which helps you to understand them more. And that's the whole thing. You know, if you're in a client oriented business, you know, the best way you can sell to a client is by understanding them as much as possible. And if this can help to understand, you know, you can understand what they are going through, you know, the pains of their industry or the triumphs of their industry. And if you can do that, you don't have to do a PowerPoint presentation or just wow them with the, you know, the like a encyclopedic knowledge of something. It's not that. Because actually, I think that shows immaturity, actually. But if you can use what you know to a good effect and understand what they know, they will be so much more forthcoming, and therefore you're more likely to succeed. They will take you on, and not someone else. And then, you know, that's where you get money for it. Now, I know that sounds terribly you know, money grabbing and etc. But, you know, in a lot of these jobs, that's what it's about. You know, it's you versus someone else or other people or firms, and they have to tell the difference. Who are the people that they want to deal with? Do they want to deal with the people that actually understand them and understand the context of their industries, or do they just want to take someone else on? You know, and I would suggest better understanding makes you better, and it makes, you know, it reflects well on you.
It's so true. Like when I'm pitching, I'll try and do a bit of research into the client beforehand. Mm-hmm. That research will then help me to come up with good questions. It will give me insights about competitors and industry trends or whatever that I can slip into that call, so they know I am clued up on it and genuinely interested in it. Commercial awareness firstly enables me to understand what I'm reading when I'm doing that research. You know, if I couldn't put all this stuff together, then the research wouldn't be particularly helpful to me. And then it helps me understand how to talk about it with the client and how to adapt to the discussions on the call. So it's not just about reading the right stuff before a pitch. It's knowing the relevance of it and what to talk about when you're in that pitching situation.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's like I always say, commercial awareness is not a pub quiz, right? You're not there to, you know, what is a bond? What is a this? What is that? I mean, yes, you know, you need to know that because those are the building blocks of, you know, really upgrading your knowledge. However, it's about the application of that knowledge to, you know, existing or the circumstances that are before you. And I would add that, you know, I'm going to try not to be evangelical about this, but, you know, it's so useful for so many professional areas because I think this is for two reasons. One is it means that you make better informed decisions about career choices. So if you are good at commercial awareness, you understand what's going on in the business world and on the financial markets, you will get to a stage where you feel confident enough to make some of your own predictions and where are the hot areas, where are the areas that are maybe waning, that sort of thing. And therefore, hopefully you want to go into an area of growth. And so you can make that informed decision and you know, go in a certain direction with a degree of knowledge, you know, behind you. So I think that's really good, first of all. So it's very good for career direction. The second thing is it's very good for enhancing relationships. So whether that is external relationships with clients, as I've just kind of said, or whether it's with your colleagues. Because if you are in a meeting and everyone's throwing around ideas and you can pipe up with stuff that sounds, you know, intelligent and relevant, then they will view you in a more positive light. So it's really, really useful for that kind of thing. And in terms of who is it useful for, I think it's particularly useful for people who are in professions which deal with many clients in different industries, because you can't be an expert at every industry, but if you have a reasonable grasp of most things, it will really help you. But what do you think?
No, I completely agree. I think it's useful in loads of different contexts, and understanding why it might be useful to you might be a good step one in spurring you on to actually trying to build it. Looking at applicants for a second, used a great example earlier of, you know, it can be great if you can define a bond or an IPO, but that in isolation isn't enough. And it's true. It's one thing remembering the definition of a bond. It's a whole other thing understanding when issuing a bond might be helpful, it might not be right for a business, what the challenges are involved, the processes in launching one, how it can go wrong. All of that surrounding stuff, including maybe examples of bond issues in the past that worked well and other ones that didn't. That's where you're showing a much deeper level of commercial awareness. You know, as an aside, I think for applicants, commercial awareness gives you context that helps you to understand things like commercial case studies and business related assessment center questions. It can help prep for internships and understand the work you're doing during those internships, as well as day one in the role. you will be assessed on things like your discussions with supervisors that will probably stray away from just the technical work you're doing and mm-hmm. talk about client businesses and mm. maybe also how the firm you're interning at operates as a business and that industry. Mm-hmm. It can help you prep for presentations. I used to have to deliver training alongside other trainees at regular points during my training contract seats. I needed mm-hmm. commercial awareness for that. So yep. research reports, all that kind of stuff. But I think if, as an applicant, you can demonstrate that you're commercially aware, this can help to show your real interest in and your understanding mm. of and your enthusiasm towards the firm's client and the firm's work. And I think passion for the business is such a massive thing that firms look for in applicants, and commercial awareness can go a long way to showing that. Mm. I know we started with a definition today, but I did have as my very first question at the start of an interview, I was asked to define commercial awareness. So it is good to have a definition in your locker as well, just in case.
Mm. Absolutely. And I think that, I think that it is important for job applicants to have this, because like you say, you need to show enthusiasm for what you're about to do, because these are hard jobs, right? These are hard jobs. And they can be very well paid, but they are hard nevertheless. And the thing is, you need to be highly motivated in order to stick the course, you know, because it's not easy. And so actually for your own benefit as well, you know, you need to be as well informed as you can be, so that you can, you know, rather than find yourself halfway down the road and thinking, actually, why am I doing this? You're less likely to find yourself in that position, because you've already thought about it beforehand, because you've taken into account what is happening in the market, what is going on, what are the trends. So, you know, you're going in there. At the end of the day, no one can go in to anything 100% prepared. And so, you know, you do as much as you can and you go with what you know at the time, and then you just go and execute. So, I mean, I think that this is the... Yeah, you know, this is why I think that it's so important for so many things, and it can help a lot of people to be actually better at this stuff. I mean, just brief, you know, quick anecdote. I mean, I remember when I left uni, so I did, many eons ago, and I did law and Japanese, and afterwards, I was just thinking, I quite like to work in the city, but I just don't know how. You know, I've never read the FT. I don't know anything. I don't really watch the news. I don't, you know, but I like the idea of it. I lucked out, because someone picked me and they said, oh no, we think you can do this. So, you know, I lucked out there. But what would have really helped is for me to actually know why I wanted to do it. I didn't know. I just wanted the buzz. I wanted to be tested. You know, I wanted to work with sparky people. You know, I wanted to do that. But I looking back on it now, I sort of think, if I'd have been better informed, I would have been, you know, I would have gone into it with more of a, you know, with more certainty. Whereas I went into it thinking, yes, this is great, but I don't know why. And then actually, fortunately for me, as time went on, I really thought, yes, no, this is absolutely brilliant. I love this. But it won't always happen. And not everyone is as lucky. So, you know, I do count my blessings that, you know, I was lucky and that I happened to fall into something that I really did like, because it could have gone the other way as well, because there were loads of hard times which get you questioning your motivation. So,
I agree. I think motivation questions are the things people struggle with most. And a lot mm-hmm. of the times, because they just don't know how to find out enough about the career to figure out them. I've got two courses largely dedicated to motivation questions for that reason.
And yeah.
They've proven popular because people don't know where to start. There's a lot more information out there now than there was when I was at university to help you learn about what a lawyer does, an investment banker does, an accountant does, consultant, all that kind of thing. But networking can be a really brilliant way to find out more about that. And that will build your commercial awareness in terms of what the industry involves and what the roles involve. And that can help motivate people to then take a more structured approach to building their commercial awareness.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think it becomes, I think that the other thing that is important to say is that when you build commercial awareness, which we'll come to in a minute, when you build commercial awareness, it is best to make it a habit. You know, it is best to make it something that you just do. And then it then will help you to think in a more proactive way, rather than do what 99% of people do when they read news or consume news. It's just, you know, okay, I understand, and then on to the next thing. You're not really thinking about what it means. You know, that's what happens for most people when they consume news and news generally. So I think that yeah, it is very important to know it needs to become a habit, and ideally that means it becomes an ongoing habit. Because I do know that there are some people who think, yeah, commercial awareness, I'll do this now, I'll get it, it'd be great for interviews or sell through the interviews, and I'll get my, you know, training contract or whatever it is that they're going for, and then they stop, and it's a real shame, because it is though that's opportunity missed. Because you build up a certain amount of knowledge, and the thing is that the world continues to change. And you know, although I mean, I've been obviously doing commercial awareness, although I didn't it wasn't called commercial awareness. You know, I've been doing that all day every day when I was a stockbroker for 13 years in London and Tokyo. You know, I've been writing about it for a number of years now. So, well, actually, yeah, probably 8 years, I guess. You know, I've been writing about it for the last 8 years as well. And I just think that even myself, right, I've got loads of practical experience, loads of like writing experience and things like that that I do all the time for Watson's Daily. But if I miss a week, I feel naked, you know, because something could have happened during that week. And so I, even though recent, so recently I went for my first holiday for 10 years, and even during that week, now during that week, I didn't, unfortunately, I didn't actually look at the news. However, when I came back, I did look at the news, and I did a review when I came back to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And similarly, you could be the most amazing guru at this, and then but then you go a week without it, and you are almost you're in quite a dangerous position, because you feel you know, you think you know, but actually you might have missed something. And I've seen this happen a lot. You know, when when as a stockbroker, I used to work a lot with, you know, chief execs and things like that. And, you know, you'd go in to brief them in the morning to take them to a client, and they'd ask you a question. Oh, did you see such and such? What do you think? And if you haven't seen it, and you make the wrong, you know, you say the wrong thing, it can really set things back. So it's very much a case of if you can make it a habit and something that you find natural, that's really what you need to make it truly useful for the long term. So don't, you know, it's like, you know, don't buy a puppy for Christmas, just for Christmas. You know, puppy's not a dog's not for ju not just for Christmas. Commercial awareness is not just for interviews. You know, if you nurture this skill, you will have it for life, and it will dividends to you.
That needs to go on the
Sorry,
front
that's a
page of
little deep.
Watson's Daily. A dog is for life, not for Christmas. Commercial awareness is for life, not for interviews. That's genius. Stick with that. So true.
So there we go. But that's what I think anyway. So I think that yeah. So I mean, in terms of actually, as we're talking about interviews, I mean, how does it come up in interviews?
Sure. So, I mean, this is the thing that scared me the most as a student. I was so worried about what this seemingly abstract term commercial awareness meant and how I was going to be tested on it, but it tended to be tested in fairly consistent ways. I think the first point to make is firms are looking for commercial interest as much as commercial awareness, if not more. So you're not expected to know everything, every commercial, political, and economic event that's happened over the past few years. Although if you're a Watson's Daily subscriber, cheeky plug here, you probably will be aware of most of the
Yeah.
important. But
Nice. I see
I
we've
think you
very good.
I see what I did there. So I get the money back again. I think you need to, you really do need to demonstrate that interest in business and the broader commercial factors. So to give some examples of how it can come up, I mentioned earlier, you might be asked to define commercial awareness and explain its relevance to the firm's employees and your potential future role. You might be asked to speak about a particular news story that's interested you, or I guess you could be asked point blank about a specific event, but that's quite rare. You know, however it's phrased, be ready to put forward an opinion and explain how that story or that event could impact the firm and its clients and have a longer lasting future impact. And then often you can be presented with some kind of commercial case study or fictional client business scenario, which that's the context that can require you to demonstrate your understanding of business concepts, financial concepts, legal concepts, and things can get a bit more technical. But I guess in that context, if you can also bring in some wider knowledge of current affairs, that's even better, because it shows you really understand how you can piece it all together and it fits together.
Brilliant. I mean, that's great. And I mean, I suppose from a kind of markets perspective, maybe investment banking perspective, you know, there are certain roles that really, really require knowledge. But I'd say most roles, you should, even if you're going for an IT job or something at an investment bank, you know, you should really show an interest in some kind of knowledge of the industry. And actually, I'll say that when I was a headhunter, I was actually recruiting for a client, and I was recruiting for someone who, you know, like in a sales role. So what I basically recruiting for a job that I did, but for a different company. So that was to advise clients on, you know, talk about sort of current economic events and market events, but also to, you know, maybe make recommendations in terms of buying and selling stocks. And then the idea is that they then say, yes, that's good. They you know, do their own research and they come back and say, yes, I would like to buy that. Yes, you know, or I'd like to sell that. And anyway, when I was a headhunter, I asked every candidate the same thing. I said, what do you think about VW? Right now, this is a few years ago now. So this was just when the Dieselgate scandal happened, and I wanted them to demonstrate to me. So it was a very simple and innocent sounding question. But what I wanted them to demonstrate to me was, A, did they know that Dieselgate had happened? B, could they put together a persuasive argument? That's what I was looking for. And there was someone that I interviewed who had, you know, was you know, sort of masters in finance from a very prestigious university. They spoke, I don't know, three or four languages or something, had done economics, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I said that, and they said the answer to my question was, so my question was, what do you think about VW at the moment? They said, yeah, they're quite a decent company that, you know, a very successful automotive manufacturers. And I thought, well, let's just go now, shall we? Because I thought that is a really not a very good answer for someone who's supposed to know what they're talking about. And this is a thing, you know, anything can come up. So again, some people will say to me, how do I do this for interviews? It's not a case of, you know, learning loads about, I don't know, electric vehicles or something, and then nothing else. That would be like going into an exam where you are, you've studied 10 different areas and you've got three questions and you decide to learn three out of the 10 areas, hoping that one of them, that they're all going to come up. You know, and they won't. So
I've been there personally.
Yeah,
I've taken that approach and it has.
Yeah. And the thing is that you have to, you know, they say, "Oh, do we need depth or do we need breadth?" And I'd say, "Well, yeah, you need breadth and depth, unfortunately." But you know, it just, if you keep chipping away at it and you keep, you know, working on it, you will get there. And it's amazing, actually, is that quite a lot of cases, you will learn things and you'll pick things up. You won't quite realize you're doing it until someone, say, asks you a question on something, and then you start coming out with all these gems of knowledge, you know. So actually, to get to that point where you are spouting gems of commercial awareness gold, you know, in order to do that, you have to build it. So, I mean, what would your recommendations be on how to build it?
Sure. So I found this out as a student. I tried to cram it at the start, and I would just read random articles, didn't understand what was going on, found it all quite miserable, and didn't really build any commercial awareness and had to change my approach. So yeah, I think cramming like that isn't the right way to do it. You only pick up a shallow understanding of the topics you read about, and you don't build a natural interest. I use this analogy about a novel. It's like if you pick up a book with 800 pages in it, you read the first couple of pages, you're not that interested in it because you don't really have a clue what's going on. You don't understand the context, how the characters tie together, all that kind of stuff. It's the history and the developments as the book evolves that draw you in. So the story become a lot more gripping once you start to understand how the sections and the chapters fit into the broader context of the book. For me, it's the same with commercial awareness. So news stories and commercial concepts aren't generally interesting in isolation. Once I started to understand how the pieces fit together and the impact this could all have on firms and clients and industries, I found it a lot more interesting and I became more confident talking about it. So for me, it's much better to get into the habit of building commercial awareness on a regular basis. Even 5-10 minutes a day can make a massive difference.
Yep.
And that will make you a lot more interested in what you're reading, and you'll have a better, broader, deeper understanding of what's going on. So that's a general point. I think you should also get in the habit of looking up definitions and meanings for any terms you don't understand. I think Investopedia is a brilliant website when it comes to explaining technical things in a simple way. Also, if you read about companies and you don't know what they do, you can look up those companies. And that's where I think your kind of company and defined terms section in Watson's Daily is really, really helpful. It's just a quick guide to it. And on top of that, use whatever sources work for you. So looking at the more technical side of how businesses operate and why they do what they do, these are what my handbooks are focused on. And I've got lots of law, banking, consulting. I've got online courses covering things like mergers and acquisitions and examples of that technical business knowledge. Chris Stokes has written a brilliant book called Know the City, which is about how the city works.
That is a brilliant book, that. Yeah.
It's really, really great. You know, one way I've really enjoyed learning about businesses is through reading books, either written by founders or written by journalists about the stories of businesses. You feel sometimes like you're reading, you know, fiction, but you're actually reading about real businesses and therefore learning about the challenges businesses face as they scale. So the one that got me into it all is called Upstarts by an author called Brad Stone, and that charts Uber and Airbnb from day one, like a couple of founders knocking on doors trying to win customers, all the investment challenges, regulatory challenges, scaling problems, to them becoming superstars. The Everything Store was written by the same person about Amazon. Shoe Dog, written by the founder of Nike, is amazing insight into the early days at Nike. Onward, written by the Starbucks founder. Losing My Virginity, not something I ever thought I'd say on a podcast. Brilliant. Really brilliant book by Richard Branson. So that's all my stuff on business technical knowledge specifically. I think for current affairs, politics, the economic environment, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, I read Watson's Daily every day, genuinely. That's not even a shameless plug.
Well, that's very nice.
And it also means whenever Peter makes any kind of error, like a hyperlink not working, I'm on him about it immediately. Angry customer. So yeah, Watson's Daily is brilliant. I also look at CB Insights, which focuses more on tech trends and investment trends, if you're interested in that. The Economist does a really short free digest, which is great for getting a brief understanding of political stories from around the world. But yeah, that's as far as I take it. I don't subscribe to them. And then, yeah, if you're someone who works well with podcasts, look for podcasts to do this. Like Peter's obviously really regular, covers everything in a really short space of time. You've got YouTube videos, webinars, conferences, Twitter. Firms publish lots of stuff about what they're up to in their industry. So that can be really good, usually pretty accurate and verified source of information written by very senior people. And then, you know, once you've found your sources, do whatever you need to do to retain that information. Like I have a terrible memory. I need to read things multiple times. I need to take notes on stuff to remember it. So if you need to write notes in your own words or record yourself presenting on topics or set up a study group with other people to discuss topics, All of that kind of stuff can make a really big difference to actually applying the knowledge you're picking up and remembering what you're reading and building your commercial awareness in that way.
No, it's brilliant. Brilliant. I'll just add one more thing before we go. And I would say that, you know, don't try and think, how much time do I need to devote to it? The main thing I would say is, you know, I keep on going, banging on about, you know, making it a habit. You need to think about it the other way around. You need to think, how much time can I devote to this on a daily basis and stick to it? If you do that, it will become a habit and you will get better much more quickly. You can't really do this like in one big session on the weekend. It's just too much and you won't retain enough. So try to do that. Try to do it that way round. Even if it's 10 minutes, if it's half an hour, it's an hour, you know, brilliant. You could do more, but try to keep it consistent. Anyway, on that note, I think I shall finish. But look, thank you so much, Jake, for being on here and sharing your knowledge. It's been great. So
thanks so much for having me. It's great to finally be on the famous podcast. The only thing that's weird is I'm so used to doing webinars with you that I find myself like nodding along when you're speaking, realizing no one can see me.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny, isn't it? Yeah.
Totally new medium.
Indeed. But anyway, thank you very much indeed. And obviously, you know, we may well come back together for other podcast specials. But anyway, for now, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks so much, Peter.
All right. Bye.
Okay.